good to see you here tonight. Thank you for coming. The invitation has been made and you've come, and that's a great encouragement to us. You know, the other evening, well, a few evenings back, I think it was probably last Friday, Saturday, I was pondering in the night. I'm often quite awake a lot, I think a lot. And I was thinking about these meetings, and a thought came to my mind to speak upon a certain verse, and I thought, that's it. That's the verse I'm going to speak upon. And then Matthew came to me a few days later and said, Uncle Andrew, he said, I think I know what I'm going to take for these meetings. I'm going to take some questions. I thought, that's interesting. The thought that I had was going to be a question. I thought, I hope you're not going to take my question. But anyway, it wouldn't have mattered because if it was going to happen twice, no doubt that was of the Lord. And so I just want to read a couple of verses this evening from Mark chapter 8. So if you have a Bible you'd like to follow, it's just two readings, two verses together, and the words of the Lord Jesus mentioned by the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we're going to read Mark's account. You know, when we think of the words of the Lord Jesus, it's important for us to take notice of them, because these are the words of the Son of God. It is God that is speaking, and this is what we read here. The Lord Jesus saying in verse 36 of Mark chapter 8, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Two very challenging questions. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, gaining the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, Peter, writing to the strangers that were scattered abroad, those of the Jewish dispersion who had been saved, he speaks in verse 9 of chapter 1, the last five words, he says, "The salvation of your souls." And that's what I'd like to think about this evening, the salvation of your soul. And really, it fits in nicely what Matthew has been bringing before us, because Matthew was burdened to speak this evening about man's responsibility. And really, this really brings it very personal, because here we have the Lord Jesus speaking about a possibility of losing your own soul. You know, that's the very important question that we need to ask ourselves this evening. Are we prepared to meet God? You know, we're all going to meet God in the coming day, and from that there is no escape, because God has determined that as I live, saith the Lord God, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall swear. That's quoted in Isaiah 45, but in the New Testament, that every soul shall confess. And so God has determined that every soul will meet him in a coming day. And from that meeting, none of us can escape. A meeting that we will all meet God in a coming day. We'll either meet him as our Saviour, and we'll be those that have entered through the narrow gate, the narrow way, and it leads to heaven. But those who are not prepared to meet God, who continue to travel on the broad road, still in their sins, are going to meet God, a holy God, in their sins, and will be cast into hell, of course. The soul, they'll die, they'll go to hell, that temporary waiting room of judgment, to arrive in a coming day at the judgment of the great white throne. That solemn day when the wicked dead will stand before God, the judge of all the earth, and to hear the verdict of heaven, "Depart from me," and they will all be consigned to eternal judgment, described in Revelation 20 as the lake of fire, which is the second death. You know, this is the most solemn, most solemn indeed. Have you ever considered that you are an eternal soul? You know, Matthew's been telling us that we are tripartite beings. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And you are a living soul. Matthew's already taken us to Genesis, and in chapter 2, we read there that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Matthew's also quoted from Ezekiel 18, and there it is, the Lord God speaking, and he says twice in that chapter, all souls are mine. You see, by creatorial right, we are God's property. All souls are mine. And also in that chapter we read, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So what we're going to think about this evening, not quite sure where the clock is. So the issues that we're going to consider this evening are of vital importance. Because, dear friend, this evening, the destiny of your soul will be determined in life. It will be determined by your response to Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, that you might be freed from your sins that will take you to a lost eternity. So this is of vital importance. Do you know, it's the most vital issue that you will ever face in life. And there are big things that we all have to handle in life. And there are decisions that we have to make that are life-changing decisions. I was only talking to a lady who came in the shop the other day. And she was telling me about her husband. And he's got to make a big, big decision in his life. A very major decision in his life. And he's not quite sure, I don't think, at this present time what to do. But you know, the most important decision that we will ever have to make is this. It's the decision that you will make tonight that will determine the destiny of your soul. So the salvation of your soul is a subject that is of vital importance. You see, your soul and mine needs to be saved because of the problem of sin. Isaiah tells us in chapter 59, Isaiah the prophet says, it's your iniquities that have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So what is the problem that's brought in this distance between God and men? It's man having sinned has broken the fellowship. Matthew reminded us of the fellowship that Adam and Eve knew in the garden when they were created in perfection before sin entered, and then came separation and distance and death. And the Bible tells us that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, in this we're at unity. We're at one. We are no different. We are all sinners. We're sinners by nature because we are all descendants of Adam. And there's no one in this world who has not descended from Adam. And that, by the way, is where the Lord Jesus stands unique, because he entered not in by Adam. He is the Lord from heaven. He was born from heaven. He came from heaven, sorry. He was born into this world. He's not a man as you and I am. He is unique. He is the Son of God. So in this he stands unique. But we, as descendants of Adam, have inherited a sinful nature. And our sin will take us to a lost eternity. Make no mistake about it. Paul reminded us, and he was right. The Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And you know, it's a fearful thing, says the Hebrew writer, to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you know, the God with whom we have to do, and the God with whom we will meet, And from that meeting, there is no escape. It's absolutely holy. He cannot let sin into heaven. And so if we're still in our sins, we will be judged because of our sins. Our sin is so serious in the sight of God. You know, you and I live in a world where sin is made light of. But God does not make light of sin. The Bible has much to say about sin. The Bible gives us warnings about sin. It shows us the intervention of God in the affairs of men, upon cities, upon countries, upon the world of Genesis 6. The judgment of God fell because of sin. And make no mistake about it, God has not changed. God does not change. He is changeless. I, the Lord, change not. And so we have to do with a living and true God, and we're all going to meet him. And the question is, are we ready to meet him? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? He had transient pleasures in this life. He may have enjoyed life till he lived for 95 or 100. And then he went out into eternity and unprepared to spend a long eternity in that awful place, hell, and ultimately the lake of fire. You know, no wonder the Lord Jesus in Luke 12, when he spoke about the parable of that rich farmer who had considered all his blessings that God had given him, good crops, a plentiful harvest, and he just thought to himself, you know, I'm going to pull my old barns down and build new ones. And I'm going to store it all away for myself. And I'm going to sit back. And I'm going to live in pleasure. Eat, drink for tomorrow. He wasn't worried about it. Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink. Enjoy life now. That was his philosophy. Just look after number one, me. You know, it's mine. I got it. That's what he thought. And then God spoke to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be that thou hast attained? Whose will they be? You'll leave it all behind. You know, you and I, we came in with nothing. Paul would speak in 1 Timothy that we came in with nothing. And if you're certain, we will go out with nothing. You'll go out with nothing. You'll take nothing of this world with you. And you'll go out into eternity to meet God. So the salvation of your soul is of vital importance. I also want to think about tonight that, you know, the salvation of your soul is possible. So, you know, this subject that we're thinking about this evening, it's a tremendous thing to think tonight that you can be saved. I can be saved. Praise God, I can say, like Matthew said, that I know I'm saved. You know, I'm saved because of the work of the Lord Jesus. He shed blood upon the cross. He died for sinners. He died for me. So praise God, tonight it is possible. You know, it need not be so. God was not obligated to save anyone. But you know, God has proved his love. As he looked down from heaven upon a lost, perishing world of sinners, his heart was moved towards them. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came. The Bible tells us that he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He came to be the Savior. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, the world of sinners needed a Savior. We couldn't save ourselves. The best we could do could never satisfy God. And God knew that. He knew we were lost. He knew we were without hope. But you know, his heart was moved in love towards us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life in heaven. And my friend tonight, that's what God wants for you. God wants to give to you the great blessing of the forgiveness of sins, everlasting life in heaven. But you know, as Matthew has reminded us, because the work has been done by the Lord Jesus, does not automatically mean that all are going to enter into heaven, because God is holy. And God has given man a free will. And it's your responsibility to obey God and to receive the Lord Jesus that faith needs to be placed in him, a turning from sin and receiving the Saviour and knowing the forgiveness of sins. So praise God tonight. The salvation of your soul is possible. God has loved you. He has proved his love. He has sent his Son, his only begotten Son, his well-beloved Son, his Son who is indeed the Creator. Matthew took us to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Elohim, the triune God, created a singular act of the triune Godhead, created the heavens and the earth. And the Son of God came into this world. In the words of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Thank God it wasn't just for Israel. You know, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came, as John the Baptist pointed him out, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God, the gospel message goes out to all, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my dear friend, tonight that includes you. And God is interested in you tonight as an individual. You see, it's the salvation of your soul that's of vital importance. As the next question said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Psalm 49 says that none can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's no one here on earth who can help you get to heaven. There's no one to whom you can go to confess your sins and who will tell you, I'll forgive you, you're all right now. Just go and do this and do that and you'll be okay. There's no one here who can deal with your sins. And you know, God knew that there's only one way you could be saved. And God has made the provision for you to be saved. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. That means, my friend, tonight that there's no other Saviour. There's no other way. You know, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Notice the door. There's a door into the narrow way, on the narrow way that leads to heaven. And that door is Jesus Christ. He could say, as the Son of God, I am the door. He could also say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So tonight, dear friends, we present to you the only Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus. He came to be the Saviour. He went to Calvary's cross to die for your sins. And there upon the cross, he bore the judgment himself for your sins that you might never bear. That you might not bear the judgment of your sin for all eternity. He came to the cross. He would not be diverted from that pathway that led to the cross. It was to do his Father's will. He knew that he would go to Jerusalem. He could say to his disciples, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. He could tell them that he would be taken, that he would be killed, and on the third day rise again. You see, it was absolutely vital for your salvation that God's righteousness must be satisfied and the judgment of sin must be paid. And there in his own body on the tree, Christ died for your sins. That's how God can be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You see, the blessing of salvation comes through believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you know, you could be saved here in this meeting in Spon End on the 18th of July, while you're in your seat listening to the gospel. You see, the Bible tells us, as our text says there, behold, now is the day of salvation. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you know, you and I live in a world where great emphasis is placed today upon looking after number one. You know, never has there been so many gyms and keep fit places. Never before have you seen so many runners and everybody else doing all the exercises, seeking to keep fit and to have a good shape. And they take great emphasis on the body, and they neglect the soul that's going to live on into eternity. What a tragic mistake. How deluded of the devil to put such great emphasis on the transient. What is your life? The scripture says, it is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away and is gone. That's your life and mine. You know, none of us can boast of tomorrow. None of us know what a day could bring forth. This may be our last day on earth. And God, in his grace and in his love, has brought you to these meetings to hear words whereby you can be saved. And you realize tonight that Christ died for your sins on the cross. He bore the judgment in his own body of your sin. He was made sin. Think of that. The eternal Son of God, he was made sin. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God tonight. The salvation of your soul is possible. As we have seen, the salvation of your soul is costly. The salvation of the soul is precious. You see, it costs God's beloved Son there upon the cross. It was costly. Do not get mistaken of this. You know, God could speak and God could bring the worlds into being by the mighty power of his word. But when it came to deal with your sins, to satisfy the righteousness and the holiness of God, sin's judgment had to be paid, and it was paid by the Lord Jesus on the cross. God punished his own Son on account of your sin and mine, that you and I might be forgiven, that you and I might go free. He became our substitute there on the cross. Oh, what love we have seen of the Father in giving the Lord Jesus, in sending him to be the Saviour. Think tonight of the love of the Lord Jesus in going to the cross and paying the price of your sin. Think of his love as he was hated by Jew and Gentile, rejected by the people, the soldiers, the priests, the scribes. They all came and mocked him. And yet as they nailed him to the cross, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love the Lord Jesus showed when he could have called more than 12 legions of angels to have come to his aid and delivered him. A prayer he never prayed, because it was not his Father's will. He came to be your Saviour. He went through with it all. He could cry, it is finished. God raised him from the dead. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. And the fact that he was seen by the disciples, by above 500 brethren at once, is proof that he was raised from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And we can tell you tonight that there is a risen Saviour in heaven. If there was no risen Saviour in heaven, we would have no gospel to proclaim. But Christ is risen from the dead. God has glorified him, made him to be a prince and a saviour. And he is exalted. And you know, tonight, the one who could say, I am the door, and who died on the cross, that you might go to heaven, is the same one who will sit on this great judgment throne. Can I tell you his name? Jesus Christ. A saviour today, a judge tomorrow. Opportunity for salvation, no opportunity for salvation. No second chance. Too late. Too late. What an awful crime. And to miss God's salvation. Do you know the salvation of your soul, the only thing, could be easily missed. You know, the devil will do his utmost. There are many people, you know, who have sat in gospel meetings, realise that they need to be saved, and they think, well, you know, I'm only young. Got plenty of time ahead to think about these things. And they chat to their friends, walk out the door. And the devil comes and snatches away the good seed of the word in the parable the Lord Jesus said. The birds come down, gathered up off the wayside, is gone. Opportunity missed, lost. My friend, tonight, God is speaking. And in the words of the Hebrew writer, he reminded them three times. Today, if you will hear his voice, that's the voice of God speaking. Harden not your hearts. Do not harden your hearts against the voice of God speaking. Do not reject his word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no escape. My friend, there's no escape from hell and the lake of fire. But today you have an opportunity. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know, my friend, you could be saved tonight. What a wonderful thing to be saved tonight. There is rejoicing in heaven, you know, over sinners repenting, because God wants you in heaven. God wants you to be saved. He does not desire the death of the sinner. You know, haven't we read more in Ezekiel 18 that Matthew quoted and not quoted? There's a verse in there that tells us that. God does not desire, he does not take pleasure, is the scripture, in the death of the wicked. God wants you to turn, to repent of your sin. My friend, that's what you need to do. You need to be done with your sin that's got serious in the sight of God. Turn from it. That's what repentance is. And turning to God. And receiving the Lord Jesus. And believing that there on the cross he died for me, a guilty sinner. He took my place and I receive him as my Saviour. And tonight you could be saved. May God bless you. And thank you for listening. Shalom.